My parents' marriage was my mother's second marriage, with her being 10 years older than my father.
I fought the fight and managed to get in at Wits, but I had to take the train every day, commute there. I wasn't allowed to live in
Johannesburg. She had grown up and lived in Soweto. Her and her siblings went to Morris Isaacs in high school.
It being very conservative, my father was worried I'd become a communist.
During the June 16th, 1976 student uprising against the apartheid education system.
Bear in mind, this is the 80s. It's the sort of twilight of the apartheid years.
She had graduated and was pregnant with my brother from her first marriage.
One of the mornings, I woke up from a sequence of dreams, one of which took place along Esplanade.
She told me stories about running in the streets while 7 months pregnant, looking for her younger sister, who had run out to join the
church
march.
Clock didn't work.
My paternal grandfather was a journalist at the time and became a historian. He published a book titled People on the Boil, a detailed account of the context and circumstances that surrounded the events that happened on June 16th.
So in the dream, I was on the train headed to university and I alighted station and went to a church across the road.
I was looking at the photographs in the book and noticed a picture of a girl dressed in black, pregnant and running in front of a wall that looked familiar.
When I was 16, I had a dream that I was driving to a shopping centre in Lakeside, Cape Town.
So it's one of those, let's say, early 20th century brick churches.
I looked more closely and recognized the unmistakable furrowed brow and wide eyes that I had inherited.
The first part of my dream was animated.
It was my mom, about 15 years before my parents had even met.
In the dream, it had an empty car park and then a grass verge. And these sort of lines, these architectural lines were very clear.
When I pointed it out to my family, no one had noticed it before.
When I got to the shopping center, the dream turned back into reality.
But they all agreed it was my mother.
There were a few men with bulletproof vests and machine guns.
Not long after that day, he was put into detention and the apartheid police broke his neck.
2 days later, I went out for dinner in the same shopping
center. He survived to write other books and many articles.
We were told that someone had been shot while they were on their motorbike outside the shop from my dream.
Stretching time one.
I did an Atlantic crossing.
What struck me standing in the parking lot was were suddenly a snake.
As it drew closer to my birthday, which is 2202.
There was a mist that morning and I couldn't see anything.
So if you could imagine a parrot morphed into a snake.
I became very aware of crossing timelines.
No pyramids visible
we
as
to
I entered
cross
the gate.
Meridian 00222.
They had a meaning.
The camels and the camel riders had just come
it
out.
It happened to be two rand
it's
coins.
Not like they had a little neon sign that said
the
evil.
Mist started to lift. And there they were, the Great Pyramids.
And after I'd thrown the two coins into the Atlantic Ocean and turned around.
It was one of the blackest
we went
nights
in single file
in the desert.
Up the narrow passageways.
They would
the stairs.
Disappear across the
two
car park.
Flying fish flew up out of the ocean.
I stood in the middle and I closed my eyes, attempting to have my own experience.
I complained that I had a sore throat.
Somehow the dust in the sky took
somehow
away
I got
the stars.
To meet
after
the
a
priest.
Few moments, I suddenly realized it had gone quiet, and I opened my eyes.
He had a bottle of old brown sherry, which I had to
gargle.
There
were no animals.
There I was,
no birds,
completely alone.
No
I had
movement.
To sing Hello, Dolly, by Louis Armstrong.
How could this be?
It's a voice that comes out of the throat, not the mouth.
But it stayed empty.
Amazement. Small A.
And I stood in the center.
Intrigue. Also small I.
I opened my mouth and I made sound.
A bit like the beginning of Marquez's 100 Years in Solitude, where the grandfather shows him ice for the first time.
The night I met my partner, I recall seeing him walking into the room and noticing his striking smile and face.
And I walked into the inky blackness and it felt like I'd walked into a Rothko painting.
He just felt so familiar and yet I had never met him.
Dear desert, I have
on the first
you.
Night,
of being in our new space.
And I have heard
I felt
your
a
anguish.
Great sense of freedom.
I have seen your trauma.
Nevertheless, that night we spoke a lot and ended up kissing.
I see your ancientness.
I placed a glass of water next to my bedside table as per
usual.
But
since tomorrow is my last day in the desert, I'm asking you to show me some of your beauty.
I discovered that we had not met, but had a chance encounter 11 years prior to our meeting.
Let me also see your other side. And I could hear in the early morning the wind starting to blow. And the dust started to stir.
And then all of a sudden there was a sound. The evidence of this was a photograph. I had taken at a party. We were both invited.
And I stood
to.
In the middle of the plane and I saw that there
I
were
looked
clouds.
Around and then kind of stared blankly.
It's not a place where rain
In this
falls.
Image, his face glowing with his striking eyes and smile. I realized it was the glass of water I'd placed beside me.
And so I started a dance. A circular dance where I chased the dust
for
up
years,
on the plane.
Go back to that image of him. I'd look at this picture.
And it had just spontaneously toppled over.
And I moved in circles.
The couple who lived
we
here
recounted
before.
Our lives where
Both
we had
of
lived,
whom had
common people
passed
we knew.
Away in this house.
Eventually, I remarked that it was interesting that we hung out in similar circles. Both had lived in Cape Town over the same period.
It's almost as if it
and
was their way of
there.
Introducing themselves to us.
I looked up at the sky and 3 heavy raindrops fell on my face.
The next morning.
And I was very moved.
There were a few people fixing a couple of broken tiles.
It
this
came to me and the photograph of his face flashed into my
like
mind.
Like the desert was replying
By this point
to
of
me,
realization, I was already pregnant.
Giving me some respite.
And he walked straight up to me.
And blew my mind.
Kissing me on the face.
This stranger's face.
And before I could say anything.
I had looked at from time to time so many years before.
He said.
Pondering who they might be.
This house has spirits.
Was going to be the father of my child.
There was this
And my
thing,
life partner for many years later.
Where I said to the person that I felt for but didn't know I felt for. That he brought me comfort and joy. And then I left him.
I'm seeing someone who lives in Paris.
I left him at a station and I went across town, across London town.
And he had sent me a song that makes him think of me called
and
Words by F.R. David.
And this woman stopped me in the queue and she started talking to me.
And I'd never heard the song before in my life.
And I didn't know if she knew me. She spoke as if I was so familiar.
It's kind of this weird 80s song.
And she kept talking about this piece of music I hadn't heard and this artist that I must listen to it. It was very important.
I was in a small town with some friends and we'd gone into this tiny little cafe shop, you know, that just sells
the
like
artist
the
was from
essentials.
A band I had heard of and that I should have known. That was sort of within my kind of listening world.
I was chatting to my friend about this guy and something that we were planning and just kind of how I feel about him.
And she said to me about this particular song.
And then that song came on the radio in that shop.
It brings me comfort and joy.
At that moment.
Which I thought was very odd. Like I said, it's not a turn of phrase.
I'd never heard that song before he sent it to me, and now here I was listening to it in a shop while I'm talking about him.
It was the 1st of July, and I was on the early morning South African Airways flight from Cape Town to Port Elizabeth. I'd taken Haruki Murakami's book Dance, Dance, Dance to read on the airplane.
I moved to New York 2 and a bit years ago now.
It was morning, like I said, and I'd had quite a late
and
night.
For the first 2 weeks or so, I was just completely adrift here.
And decided that come the end of the chapter, I would put the book down.
For the first week or so, I decided that I was done being sorry for myself and I would just go out and buy a book and sit in a park and read it.
So as I turned the page to put my little ticket stub in to serve as a bookmark.
And I bought the first book that I saw, which turned out to be a book called Lonely City.
I noticed that there was already a ticket stub in the book at the end of the first chapter.
She dedicates each section of the book to a different artist.
And on that ticket stub, it said South African Airways, 1st of July, and had my name on it, just like the one that was in my hand.
I rolled over in bed, stared after at the ceiling, and let out a deep sigh.
Many moments of bewilderment and confusion and a sense of otherworldliness. I remembered that I had flown to Port Elizabeth before.
The idea of giving in,
I had to accept that I had taken that very book along with me.
It's out of your hands, kid. Whatever you may be thinking, you can't resist.
The story's already decided.
But the one that I fell in love with was David Wojnarowicz, 80s photographer. And then I retraced his steps through the city to all the places he'd photographed and thought were significant at the time. Wojnarowicz used to walk down by the piers and sometimes paint on what was at the time a decrepit shipyard. And he liked to scatter seeds, which would eventually grow into flowers, although all of that is gone now. I went back to the piers and I sat on a bench. Someone had left a book on the bench. It was face down. I picked it up and I turned it over. And it was David Wojnarowicz's memoir.
Meat, blood, memory, war.
I opened it. I'm holding it in my hands, actually, as I tell you the story. Someone has lovingly annotated it, but the water has smudged the notes. One line is underlined again and again. It's the final line in the book. And it reads, smell the flowers while you can.